All right, I think it's about that time. Welcome. It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. Let me get up my list here. Hang on. It's now time to introduce the longest running talk show host, consistently hosted by the same man, best hair, best dancer, fastest runner, and today, snappiest dresser, the one and only world famous Mr. Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta and host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Did I finally get it right this week, Tom?
You got it right, with the only exception is you did, because I am very proud of my radio work, thanks to the Pulse, doing this for 13 years. But I'm also a doting grandfather now.
Oh, congrats. Mazel tov. Congratulations. Mazel tov.
Doting grandfather. And we actually took the granddaughter to the Celtics game on Sunday and really enjoyed that. But wow. The other thing is I'm Natalie attired today.
Yes, you are.
Because I had a recent talk with the New Hampshire school administrators, and just a big shout out to all the teachers and administrators for basically, you know, teaching students and administering all sorts of COVID protocols for the last 2 years.
Right.
With basically a hand tied behind their back. And so we talked a little bit about mindfulness. But Nazzy, we also talked about my two other books, which one of which is Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, which you can now get in hardcover as well on Amazon. Hardcover. Yep.
That's really cool. Congratulations.
And also you can get Amazon, but if you go to Gibson's in Concord, not too far from the Pulse and not too far from Delta Dental, or the Bookery in Manchester on Elm Street, you can buy it there. And then There Are No Do-Overs, which was written in consultation and collaboration with Dave Cowens, one of the top 75 basketball players of all time, just came out of that list. And David, and this book has made a recovery because David's name is in the media these days for making that list. So that was a book on leadership principles. And what we learned was a lot of the teamwork that happens in sports, the successful sport franchises tend to have many of the same leadership principles as successful businesses.
Very true.
In any event, but part of both There Are No Do-Overs and Prepare for Crisis is servant leadership. And part of servant leadership is connecting with your community, promoting various nonprofits, and also deal with, you know, candidly, you know, societal challenges, you know, such as, you know, gender diversity, DEI, etc. So as a follow-up to a program that was really well received, and I know Nazzy, you listened to every word because you told me that, but we had Tana Clues, who's the executive director of the New Hampshire Women's Foundation, and that program aired on March 5th and 6th, and last week's the coming show will be Mike Ramshaw from the Fisher cast. So we separated my guest from today from Tana. But with me, this interview, and Ellen and I go way back, is Ellen Koenig, who is the director of grant making at New Hampshire Women's Foundation. And of course, as Ellen and I know, we go way back on many, 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 many wonderful initiatives. And Ellen's a great friend. But I think we should start, Ellen, with before we get into some of the grants, et cetera. And I know you direct and oversee the grants. Why don't you give us, although people can hear Tana again on rebroadcast, on podcast, on any Delta, you know, website, but why don't you tell us, just give us a little background on New Hampshire Women's Foundation.
Sure, Tom, happy to. And it's really great to be here. So thanks for the invitation. And I just want to create a little bit of a bridge from what you were just talking about and some of the books that you have authored, with what used to happen when Delta Dental very kindly allowed the New Hampshire Women's Foundation to have below market rate rent for so many years in the early part of our formation. We shared a suite with a number of other nonprofits, thanks to your generosity. And one thing I remember about you, which always amazed me that you had time to do, was prior to every holiday, you stopped in at every office, even ours, our little nonprofit suite, to wish us either Happy Thanksgiving or Merry Christmas or whatever holiday was coming up. And I thought, how does he have the time to do that as busy as he is? But that's, you know, the secret of your success, I think, just paying attention to all those little details.
Well, thank you. And of course, I now do that daily because only 30% of us are in the office, 70% working from home. So, but it's important to stay connected. I think even more so now. And that formula of assembling a number of nonprofits together, so we weren't spending a lot of overhead, worked really well for a long time actually. And of course now, yes, Early Learning New Hampshire is there, and that's still one of my passions, of course. And they still have space there, but most everybody's, is working virtually.
Yeah.
So, but that's human connection and servant leadership and level five leadership. So obviously, gender balance is so important. And I mentioned this when I interviewed Tana, but Connie Roy-Jakowski, who is my VP partner for 25 years, who just recently retired. And of course, her last assignment was trying to find a successor to her, and eventually we did, but she extended her retirement to, work during the pandemic. But for 20 years, we've been, we worked in gender balance, and I'm really happy to say that effective with our April annual meetings, that the 42 board members that we have at Northeast Delta Dental, there'll be exactly 21 women and 21 men. And then on our management team from a director above, it's just about, half and half, and now we're working on BIPOC population, getting it into board. So it's been a long-term thing. You have to be authentic, and just to get everybody's attention, it's proven that organizations that pay attention to diversity and have a diverse, management team and a diverse board are actually way more successful.
Exactly.
Than other companies. And so I'm hoping everybody believes it in their heart, but if you want to just look at it from a numbers perspective.
From a bottom line perspective, absolutely, you're right. And that is really how, one of the reasons that the New Hampshire Women's Foundation came into being in the late 90s, it was really as a result of a national movement to encourage women to embrace their own philanthropy and to start making their own philanthropic decisions and to let their money speak and find the power of their money. So there were women's foundations started all across the country. And this one here in New Hampshire started in 1999 and has seen growth and an evolution where we now do things like research. We provide education on a variety of topics, including encouraging women to run for office. We advocate on a variety of issues that are important to women and girls and families, both at the level of the state house, as well as, around the state on different issues. And we also have philanthropy. We talk about investing your money where it's meaningful for women and girls. And the great thing that I get to do in my work life is to run the grant making program, which if you're ever looking for a dream job, and I know yours is taken already, Tom, so prior to that, but I have a dream job as well. And that is the ability to take the wonderful financial support we get from so many of our supporters and be able to give it out to worthy organizations that are making big impacts in the lives of women and girls in our state.
So let's get into that in terms of how do organizations, who's eligible to apply. But one of the things about being a self-actualizing person is you learn things every day. And when I was chatting with Tana, who not as long as you and I, Ellen, go back, but Tana and I go back to when we were starting the Coalition for Business and Education. And
I remember. Yep.
And Tana was running Educate Maine. And so we modeled the Business and Education Coalition behind an organization that she helped form in Maine, where you basically, if you measure, the graduates and things like that, you can accomplish, so much. And basically to this day, the Coalition for Business and Education is still alive and thriving. But one of the things I learned from Tana was, and this was my question, we have a pretty good track record of women winning, our whole federal delegation, except for Chris Pappas.
Yes.
And we actually have had a time when the governor was a woman, and the entire federal delegation was woman, was women, and the Senate president's been a woman. So we seem to can get, you know, women elected. So what she pointed out was when women run, they get elected, but we just need more to run at the local level, right. The local school boards, where, you know, a lot of the sometimes maybe the decisions that impact your own life more actually can be at the local level. So I learned that, because I've always been, I know when I go on national meetings, people are always impressed with, you know, that we've had women governors, and, you know, we've had two women governors that have became senators. And they, because we have this kind of, New Hampshire might have a more or less of a right-leaning libertarian reputation, which really isn't, you know, necessarily true, but that's the perception. So I always wondered that question. So now I get it, which is we need more women to run. And
we do, and more women business leaders and all kinds of things like that, because the data shows, as you said earlier, Tom, when women are involved, companies do better. There's just so many benefits.
Absolutely, and we've seen that. And there's so many, the research that Ellen referenced, Gender Matters is a quarterly publication. Then there's also the status of girls and the status of women. And we have training for women how to run for office called Women's Run. So we'll get a little bit into that, but into the grant making. And I see Nazzy, so that means we must be bumping up to commercial break. Yeah. I get so enthralled when I speak with Ellen and Tana, you know?
All right, it just goes back.
And I feel the same way. I'm listening too. So it's always great. You know what? It makes us look forward to the second half that's coming up next. Okay.
You know what I'm going to do?
What's that?
After commercial break, we're going to get right into grant making questions.
Let's do it. More Northeast Delta Dental Radio coming up next. It is Nazzy with the Pulse of New Hampshire, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Mr. Tom Raffio. Great subject today, Tom. And you can really tell that you care about the community with just the different organizations that you support, including this one. So this is a really great subject today.
Well, when I moved up to New Hampshire in 95, I said, oh my God, this is like the perfect place for me, because like you can give back, make an impact.
Yeah. Right.
I think, and candidly having, and I wrote this in my latest book, I wrote this in the acknowledgement, having four sisters has really, really helped me. And then just in my own life here at Delta Dental, I've seen our company performance improve, you know, with women leaders. So let's get right into that with Ellen. So as a director of grant making, obviously you work with Tana, but in terms of grant making, what kind of organizations are eligible to apply?
Sure. So an important statistic to know is that of all the philanthropic dollars that come in nationally, only 1.9%. So in other words, just less than 2% of all dollars goes to organizations serving women and girls. And so we really try to take a bite out of that number, because our funding goes to support organizations that are working with women and girls in the state of New Hampshire. Now, a lot of times what we get is that organizations will say, well, I serve boys and men too. Am I eligible to apply? And the answer is absolutely. Of course, there are so few organizations that only serve women and girls. Many, many of the organizations we fund are serving families, men and boys as well. But we typically fund their work for women and girls. So for example, if a homeless shelter writes to us for support, they will talk about special programs they are running, especially for women, that might be related to financial literacy or economic security or anything like that. So those applicants who are really, tuning into our mission are telling us about the work they are doing with women and girls, regardless of whether they're serving men and boys as well.
And is the process complicated? I know sometimes some organizations have a complex process to be a gatekeeper because you get in the day with so many requests. At Delta Dental, we actually make it easy. I always tell people, we're good for the 5,000, but just just answer this simple software. So when my board asks me, where is the money going? I can just press a button. So how about your process? I'm assuming it's straightforward.
We are exactly the same way. We don't want a lot of barriers. We don't want nonprofits spending their precious time filling out applications. We want them working on their mission. So we only have 6 questions in our application. Each category has, I think, 250 words, so it's relatively short. You can fill it out online. And then what we do is we collect them all together. We have about 36 volunteers from around the state. They come in and they help us. They bring their personal knowledge of the area in which they live and their perspective on what's important in their communities. And together, we make decisions as to which of the many applications we receive we are able to fund. And like so many funders, like I'm sure Northeast Delta Dental as well, Tom, we're only able to fund maybe 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 applications. But we try really hard to not only give money, we try to give exposure to these organizations.
That's a great point. So someone would just go on the website, nhwomensfoundation.org, and all the information will be there.
Exactly. And I think we're going to show exactly how to get there from the website that's up on the screen now. But basically, if you go to Our Impact, the grant making opportunity is right there. And so when I talk about being able to expose and share the good work of our grantees with others, at every public event that we have, some of the major public events, and we have at least 2 a year, we like to showcase the work of our grantees so that not only are we able to give money, which if we wish we could give 2 and 3 times as much money as we are able to give, but we are able to showcase the work so that so many of our supporters and grant reviewers learn about the good work in that's going on in these communities.
And that's so important. So for our weekend radio audience, trust me, the website nhwomensfoundation.org is really easy to navigate, and I encourage you to go on. So tell me maybe 1 or 2 of the most, I'm sure this will be difficult to select 1 or 2, but tell us 1 or 2 of your most compelling projects.
Yeah, we do a lot in the space of homelessness, a lot of homeless shelters. We are able to fund them. We fund a lot of shelters working with those who've experienced domestic violence. But we also, every once in a while, we get some really creative projects that we love to fund. Last year, we funded a yoga class that was going on in the New Hampshire Women's Prison. And not only was it a class, it was the opportunity to become a certified yoga instructor.
Wow.
So that was the ability to, have some extra income once you leave the New Hampshire Women's Prison. We had another prison-related program where we funded some woodworking tools and equipment that will hopefully be available to women who might take some of these extracurricular offerings in the women's prison. You might know that in the men's prison, they make spectacular crafts and beautiful wood pieces of furniture and such that they sell. It becomes a vocation for some who leave the prison. We're hoping for something parallel there. We were able to seed that project. And of course, we fund so many of the organizations that are out there serving girls in the state. We've got some terrific partners like Girls at Work, a Manchester-based organization that teaches girls how to use power tools. We have Girls Inc., which provides after-school programming for girls around the state. We work with AIR, which stands for Arts and Reach, which is a creative arts program, an after-school program for girls in the Seacoast region. Girls on the Run, which I'm sure is a particular favorite of yours, Tom, as a runner, which can engage anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 girls around the state, not only in running, but in a curriculum that helps with self-esteem, with so many so many of the aspects that breed, that make girls successful in their middle school years.
Exactly. The girls on the run, that we've had some of the races emanating from the Northeast Delta Dental campus. And of course, Girls Inc., two of my favorites. And I noticed that you started a new grants program, the Women and Girls of Color Fund. So tell us what that program is.
Sure. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to talk about this because this is brand spanking new. We just launched it just like a week ago. So we really want to get the word out. So as I said, nationally, a couple of minutes ago, only 1.9% of philanthropy goes to organizations serving women and girls. Well, less than a third of that, one half of 1%, goes to organizations serving women and girls of color. And so between wanting to rectify that issue here in New Hampshire and knowing that the values of the Women's Foundation are around diversity, equity, and inclusion, we really wanted to do something over and above our typical grants program for organizations serving women and girls of color. We launched this project to be a very low barrier, easy to access way to jumpstart projects that organizations have, which are projects that are designed by women and girls of color, meant to benefit women and girls of color that just need a little bit of extra funding in order to get started. You know, where they might need $1,500 to $2,000 to get something going. Maybe it's a peer support program. Maybe it's an art project. Maybe it's peer mentoring for newcomers who want to help other newcomers who are just arriving here in New Hampshire and helping them cope with the huge changes that they're about to experience. So it's really a complement to our regular program targeted specifically to organizations serving women and girls of color.
And those theme grants can sometimes make the difference. I mean, $1,500 doesn't sound necessarily like a lot of money, but that could just be enough to put a project over the top and get it going. So I was excited, to learn about that.
You're absolutely right.
Now, in the upcoming months, who do you expect to hear from mostly? What kinds of organizations? Obviously, the Women's and Girls of Color Fund, but what are some of the other organizations you expect to hear from? And I'm assuming early learning centers, daycare centers, that's one of my passions, the workforce for the workforce. And what I try to get other CEOs interested in is, if you have a workforce shortage, and that's just about everybody except for Delta, it may be because there's trouble with, childcare.
Childcare, exactly. Again, childcare as an economic engine. I know you educate so many people on this particular topic, but you're right. And Early Learning New Hampshire, who you referenced a little bit earlier in the beginning of the program as a champion for good childcare, good quality childcare in this state, it has been a recent grantee of ours. And so, yes, those are some of the organizations. But in terms of the Women and Girls of Color Fund, I just heard from an organization this morning, which is running peer support program for newcomers coming mostly from African countries. But we expect to learn a lot. We expect to hear from organizations we may not have funded before because of this unique program. And we're excited about the opportunity to work with them and to learn about their work and to support it whenever possible.
So reach out, nhwomensfoundation.org. You've heard from Ellen today. You heard from Tana a couple of weeks ago. These are very receptive, enthusiastic, inclusive women that will help you. And Ellen and I think we're pretty connected, but I think we'll be the first ones to say, you know, there's probably six or seven organizations that we've never heard of that could use, the $1,500. And the application process is so straightforward. It's not used, as a gatekeeper. So don't you think, Nazi, we're so blessed with Tana and Ellen in this topic?
I do. I really, really do.
And it'll help keep the New Hampshire difference. Yep. Because this is how we will. I think the whole world needs this, but maybe what we can control the most is what's going on in New Hampshire. So
Amen.
Let's do it right in New Hampshire.
So Ellen's exactly. Right here. Start there.
Yep. Let's start there. And really quick, anybody who's listening to this on the radio, you've got to go to anydelta.com and click on Northeast Delta Dental Radio to see that Ellen and Tom are color coordinating today with Ellen's beautiful sweater and Tom's tie. It's almost like they planned this. I mean, this is just amazing, guys.
Well, and I get to see Ellen in person because she's doing it from one of our locations here in the first floor. So it's awesome. So anyway, New Hampshire NHWomensFoundation.org. The phone number is 603-226-3355. Talk to Ellen Otana.